chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. This is the word of the Lord. And he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. That everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the word of the Lord. Luke's accounts of the death and resurrection of Jesus reveals to us not only something about Christ, but also something about the church. We see here not only the reality of his body, reality of his death, burial, and rising again. We see here also the reality of our union with him, the reality of his presence with us. The church is defined by the presence of Christ. The church is that place where Christ is. The church's ministry is defined by the presence of Christ. The ministry of word, sacrament, in which we hear him and see him. And the church's mission is defined by the presence of Christ. His presence is not only the means by which the church's mission is fulfilled, it is the end for which that mission has been given. For in her mission, the church not only speaks about Christ, she also enjoys him and sings praises to him. It is in the church's worship that we see the church for what it is. It is in the church's worship that we recognize her ministry. It is in the church's worship that we understand her mission. church's worship that we come to know the church first and foremost as the place of Christ's presence. Luke chapter 24 shapes our understanding of Christ, and not only of Christ, but also of his church. For as on that first day of the resurrection, so also on this day of resurrection, Christ stands in the midst of his people and speaks to you peace. He shows you his hands and his feet. He assures you that he suffered for you and has been raised for you. As on that first day of the week, so also on this first day of the week, the church is that place where Christ opens your minds to understand the scriptures, that you might greet him in all the scriptures. As on that Lord's Day, so also on this Lord's Day, the church is that place where Christ is made known in the breaking of bread. With that bread given, he calls us to touch him and see. To touch his body. To see his flesh and bones. To know that we are bone of his bones. And flesh of his flesh. As we feed upon the bread, we partake of him. It is a union of flesh and a communion of love. He in us and we in him. This explains perhaps why it was that Christ ate fish before the disciples. Not only because that is what they had on hand, but because he was turning them from catchers of fish to catchers of men. They would not always be giving him fish. They would soon be giving him men. They would soon be bringing to him his people. The church may see itself in that fish he ate before the disciples. Church may see itself in him. For as we eat the bread, to know that he is in us. And as he ate the fish, to know that we are in him. He in us, and we in him. The union of flesh. Communion, love. We are to see our life as in him. We are to see our life as with him. It is his presence that makes us who we are. Outside of him, we are lost. apart from him, we are nothing. And yet we do not see him. Is it true then that he is with us? Is it true that the church is that place where Christ is? We are invited to ask this very question on account of what Jesus says in verse 44. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. And he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you." Those words may not seem strange to us, but listen carefully to them again. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you." Why does Jesus say, "while I was still with you"? Is he not with them now? If he is with them, why would he say, "while I was still with you"? As though he were not still with them. But if he is not still with them, how then are we to understand the reality of his presence among them? This is a mystery. Imagine your husband speaking to you. If he were to say to you, "while I was still with you," what would you think? Would you not conclude that he was leaving you, or that he had already left you? That is exactly what Jesus meant. For he was about to part from them. He was about to leave them. We see it at the very end of Luke's Gospel. We see it in the Ascension, when he is taken from the disciples into heaven. But the Ascension simply makes explicit what was already true, that Jesus was no longer with them. I do not mean to say that he was not truly there, that he was not truly present in their midst. Indeed he was, for they touched him, and he ate before them. He was truly there. He was truly present, but he was not still with them. That is to say,
same way as he has been with them before. Why not? What has happened? What has changed? He stands in their midst. He is no longer with them as he once was. Why not? Of course, we know what has happened. We know what has changed. Has happened is death and resurrection. He has died and risen again. It was before his death and resurrection that he was still with them. It was then that he told them that everything written about him must be fulfilled. Then he was still with them, but now he is not. For having been raised from the dead, he belongs to a different order. He belongs to a different realm. He belongs to a different time. Having died to this world, he has been raised to another. That is why he ascends to heaven. Because he no longer belongs to earth. How he stood in their midst, though the doors were locked. It is not the manifestation of his deity. It is the manifestation of his resurrected life. Life by the Spirit. He stood in their midst, but the doors were locked. Not because, as a ghost, he passed through walls, but because those walls now pass through him. Belongs to a different realm. Belongs to a different order. He belongs to a different world. This is why in John's account of the resurrection, he says to Mary, "Do not cling to me. Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." There was a time when she could cling to him in that way, but no longer. He is no longer still with us as he once was. But that does not mean that he is not with us more. It does not mean that he is not truly present in our midst.
need not guess. We need not wonder.
He tells us how at verse 49.
Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. What was the promise of his Father? What was this clothing of heavenly power? Of course, you know. When we come to Acts chapter 2, when we reach the day of Pentecost, the promise of his Father, this clothing of heavenly power, will be revealed. It is revealed as the Spirit. As the Son was given by the Father, so the Spirit will be given by the Father and the Son. The resurrection of Christ from the dead and his ascension into heaven, it marks the beginning of a new age. It marks the beginning of the age of the Spirit. For it is by his Spirit that Christ is now present with the church. It is for this reason that it was better for him to go. How could it be better for Christ to part from us? Might receive the Spirit. For without the Spirit, we cannot be present with him at all. For it is by the Spirit that we are born to his world. By the Spirit that we are made to belong to that world. It is the Spirit that unites us to him. It is the Spirit that makes us one with him. Two is why the ministry of the church is a ministry of word and sacrament. A sacrament of baptism. We are united to Christ, and his baptism becomes our baptism. What happened to him in his baptism? The Spirit came down from heaven and rested upon him. And so it is in your baptisms, in your own baptism. The Spirit comes down from heaven and rests upon you.
This is why you have the power of Christ within you. Because His Spirit rests upon you. The same Spirit that rested upon Him rests upon you. It opens your mind to the truth. It turns your will to what is right. It subdues your heart and draws it to Him. And as you are united to Him in baptism by the power of the Spirit, so also you enjoy Him in the supper by the power of that same Spirit. Though He is not still with us in the flesh, He is present by the Spirit. He is present in the bread. We are not to seek Him outside of the bread. We are not to seek Him apart from the bread. We are to seek Him in its breaking. We are to seek Him in its being given and its being received. To touch the bread is to touch His body. The fragrance of the bread is the fragrance of Christ. To taste the bread is to kiss Him and to be kissed by Him. This is how He is now present with us. He is present with the power of the Spirit. Present the Word. It's present the sacrament. The Scriptures, we hear His voice. The breaking of bread, touch His body. We cannot say it too often. We cannot emphasize it too much. The ministry of the church is the ministry of word and sacrament. For the ministry of word and sacrament is the ministry of His presence. He who once dwelt among us and is now how He is present with us. With the promise of the Father, the blessing of the Son, the Spirit now rests upon the Church of Christ. Spirit is the minister of His presence. The ministry of word and sacrament is the ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit is the ministry of Christ. Brings us to Christ. It brings Christ to us. power of the Spirit to the ministry of word and sacrament. Christ is present with his church. The church is the place of his presence. This should shape our understanding not only of the church's ministry, but also of our mission. Church is the place of Christ's presence. The church is not only the means of this mission, but also its end. The church is sent out into all nations, that all nations might be brought into the church. That mission is not complete until the nations are brought into the presence of Christ. And so that mission is not complete until they are brought into the church, the place of his presence. We must seek him where he may be found. Must invite others to seek him, or he may be found. We must seek him in the church. We must seek him in the scriptures. We must seek him in the bread. We are to invite others to find him there as well. One day soon, we now lay hold of by faith, we will then lay hold of by sight. He will come again. We will then be caught up to him. Then we will always be with him. And on that day, one who has attended diligently to his word will know the sound of his voice. The one who has attended diligently to the breaking of bread will know the look. By the same Spirit, we are united to him now, as we will be united to him then. By the same Spirit, we enjoy him now, as we will enjoy him then. Same Spirit, we worship him now, as we will worship him then. One body, one Spirit,
one baptism, one faith, one hope, one love, one husband, one Lord. The resurrected Christ is ascended to heaven. He has blessed us with his Spirit. Let us worship with great joy. That's right.